So I want you to picture the entire UK technology ecosystem right now. I mean, we're in 2026, so picture every startup in Shoreditch, every digital platform scaling up in Edinburgh, yeah. Every tech giant across the whole country.
Right. It's a massive landscape.
It really is. And if you put a price tag on all of it, it actually hit a valuation of 1.6 trillion US dollars this year.
Which is just, I mean, that scale is almost hard to wrap your head around, honestly.
Yeah, totally. But here is the specific data point that completely, like, redefines that massive number. Out of that 1.6 trillion, artificial intelligence companies now make up 32% of the total value.
Wow, almost a third.
Exactly. And that share has more than doubled in just 5 years. So we're definitely no longer watching some, you know, experimental sector trying to find its footing.
Far from it. We are looking at the new foundational infrastructure of the UK economy. It's essentially the new electricity at this point.
It is. But let's bring this down to earth for you, the business owner listening to this deep dive right now, because, you know, those trillion-dollar macro numbers can feel completely disconnected from your day-to-day reality.
Oh, absolutely. When you're running a business, you aren't operating in the abstract.
Right. You're trying to figure out how to meet payroll, how to keep clients happy, and how to actually grow without completely burning out your team.
Yeah, that 1.6 trillion isn't just the tech giants in London. It's the local logistics company in Manchester automating their dispatch, or you know, the mid-sized accounting firm in Leeds saving 40 hours a week on data entry.
Which is exactly why we need to focus on the reality on the ground, because we're currently looking at this sort of two-speed economy in the UK.
Yes, that's the perfect term for it.
Right. On one side, you have these massive enterprises just aggressively automating at the very frontier of what's technologically possible. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, you have a much broader landscape of SMEs, small and medium enterprises.
And many of those SMEs are really stuck in what researchers call the ROI paradox.
The return on investment paradox, meaning they know they need to buy into AI, they purchase the subscriptions, but they're struggling to see the actual financial return to justify the leap.
Yeah, it feels like they're spending money just to say they have AI.
Exactly. It's a daily frustration for a lot of directors.
Hmm.
But looking at the 2026 data, the tide is definitively turning.
It really is. I mean, 54% of UK SMEs are now actively using AI in their operations.
Which is huge.
It's massive, especially when you consider that number was sitting at just 9% back in late 2023. It represents a monumental behavioral shift.
So our mission today is to cut through all the hype. We've synthesized a stack of 2026 reports, benchmarks, data from the Office for National Statistics, Tech UK, and major cloud providers.
We basically want to give you a very practical, jargon-free guide on what is actually working right now to close that gap in the two-speed economy.
Because the UK government is pushing hard to make the UK the fastest AI adopter in the G7. They estimate that getting SMEs fully on board could unlock a £198 billion output boost.
£198 billion, yeah. So to get you on that fast track, we need to look at how businesses are using AI right now, today, just to clear their desks.
Right, and the adoption of everyday generative AI is just remarkably widespread now.
It is. We're seeing 79% of people in the UK using tools like ChatGPT to assist them at work.
Wow.
Yeah. And at a macro level, 89% of UK businesses are applying AI to solve operational bottlenecks.
And when we talk about these operational bottlenecks for an SME, it usually boils down to two main categories, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
First, you've got content creation, drafting, marketing copy, writing social media posts, or formatting those tedious emails. And second, administrative automation.
Right, like processing documents, handling invoices, and scheduling meetings.
Basically taking the repetitive friction out of the workday.
Those are definitely the primary use cases. It's about accelerating the mundane tasks so your human team can focus on the strategic ones.
I have to push back a little here, though.
Sure, go for it.
Because if all this groundbreaking trillion-dollar technology is basically just writing my emails and organizing my calendar, aren't we just treating AI like a really fast digital intern?
That's a fair point.
Right? I mean, we've been promised this 20% productivity boost for years. But if I still have to read the email, tell the AI what to write, check its work, and then actually hit sender, where is the massive financial return coming from?
You've hit on the exact mechanics of the ROI paradox right there. If you just give everyone in your office a generic one-size-fits-all chatbot and tell them to, you know, be more productive, you do just get a digital intern.
Right. It's just a toy at that point.
Exactly. What separates the highly profitable companies in 2026 from the ones struggling to find value is this big shift toward a multi-model strategy.
Let's unpack the mechanics of that. Because back in 2024, the prevailing thought was that you needed one massive, omnipotent AI platform, right? One that knew how to do everything from writing code to analyzing Shakespeare.
And that approach proved to be incredibly inefficient for a standard business. I mean, instead of relying on one massive, power-hungry model, businesses are now orchestrating groups of smaller, domain-tuned models.
Domain-tuned meaning highly specialized.
Exactly. These are specialized AI tools trained on very specific tasks.
I'm picturing, like, a factory assembly line. Instead of hiring one person who tries to build the entire car from scratch all by themselves, you have specialists at different stations.
That's a great way to think about it.
Right. They only do one highly specific thing, but they do it perfectly and incredibly fast.
That factory line metaphor captures the mechanism perfectly. So one model specializes entirely in retrieving your internal company data securely.
Okay, got it.
Then another model is strictly trained to check the accuracy of, say, warranty claims. And another one solely generates the customer-facing response.
And mechanically, why does breaking it up like this save a business so much money?
It really comes down to computational cost and data security. A huge model requires massive servers and vast amounts of energy to run.
Which means the tech companies charge you a premium subscription for it.
Precisely. But a small model, trained exclusively to read invoices, uses a fraction of the computing power. Your cloud computing bill just drops dramatically.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Plus, it keeps your data siloed. You really don't want your sensitive HR data mixing with your marketing data in one giant artificial brain.
No, definitely not.
So the real ROI comes from the cumulative time and compute costs saved across dozens of these specialized, highly efficient tools, all working in tandem.
Okay, a team of specialists beats a jack of all trades. That makes complete sense. But there is still a significant operational difference between an AI that helps you write an email and an AI that reads the email, decides what to do, and takes action entirely on its own.
Which brings us to the single most significant technological shift of 2026, the rise of agentic AI.
Ah, the silicon-based workforce.
Exactly. If everyday generative AI is a helpful assistant waiting for instructions, agentic AI is an operational colleague. These are systems capable of performing multi-step tasks autonomously.
Let's break down how an agent actually thinks, because I know a lot of people confuse this with standard automation.
It's a common misconception, yeah.
Like in the past, I could set up a rule that said, if I receive an email with the word invoice, save the attachment to a specific folder. That is automation. How is agentic AI different from that simple trigger?
Well, think about it like a kitchen. A standard automation script is like a line cook following a very rigid recipe.
Okay.
If the recipe calls for tomatoes and there are no tomatoes on the counter, the line cook simply stops. They throw their hands up and shout that there is an error. The whole process halts.
Right. The software crashes or sends me a really annoying error notification.
Exactly. An agentic AI, however, operates like an executive chef who is simply told to make a nice dinner.
Oh, I see.
If the tomatoes are missing, the agentic model doesn't just stop. It uses a process called chain of thought reasoning. It observes the problem, checks the fridge for alternatives, maybe decides to pivot to a cream sauce, or even autonomously orders tomatoes from a supplier. It reasons its way around obstacles to achieve the final goal.
Let's ground this in a real-world 2026 business scenario. Walk us through how this autonomous reasoning actually plays out in an office.
Okay, let's look at a mid-sized UK e-commerce company. An email comes in from a customer saying their package never arrived.
Standard headache.
Right. In the past, a human had to read that email, open their CRM.
The customer relationship management system. Basically, the digital history of the customer.
Yes. They'd have to find the order number, log into the separate shipping software, check the status, draft a reply, and then log the ticket.
It's a highly manual, multi-step process across like three different screens.
Today, an agentic system handles that end-to-end. The agent reads the incoming text and recognizes the intent. It autonomously queries the CRM to extract the order number. Then it pings the delivery partner's API.
And just to clarify for everyone, an API, an application programming interface, is basically the digital bridge that lets two completely different software programs talk and share data with each other.
Precisely. So it uses that digital bridge to ask the delivery software where the package is. Now, let's say the API is down and doesn't respond.
Which happens all the time.
Right. A standard script would just crash right there. But the agentic AI realizes the API is down, checks the delivery partner's backup website instead, scrapes the tracking data showing a weather delay, drafts a highly customized, empathetic reply to the customer, and updates the internal ticket.
All on its own.
Yes, it checks its own work to ensure the tracking numbers match, and then it sends an email, all without human handholding.
That is wild. So if I'm understanding this right, every day generative AI is like having a really smart typewriter. But agentic AI is like hiring a reliable mailroom manager who opens the letters, files the invoices, issues the refunds, and locks the door on the way out.
That is the absolute best way to frame it, and it introduces this concept of agent native design.
Agent native design, what does that mean for a business owner?
Well, the UK businesses succeeding right now aren't just layering AI on top of old human processes. They are completely redesigning workflows around what this new silicon-based workforce can actually do.
So if an agent can check a database in a millisecond, you don't need the 3-day approval bottleneck you used to have.
Exactly. And the goal isn't to fire your strategic people, it's to liberate them.
Right, because if the agents are handling the data retrieval and the routine actions, your human workers are suddenly freed up for high-value relationship building and complex problem solving.
Yes, the operations just keep humming in the background. But we've only talked about internal operations so far. The biggest shift in 2026 actually happens when these autonomous agents start picking up the phone and talking directly to your customers.
Oh man, welcome to the year of the AI voice agent. It is a bit wild to think about because, 2024 and 2025 were obsessed with the text chatbot.
They really were.
You went to a website, a little chat bubble popped up, and you typed your question. But now, we're seeing this massive return to the traditional phone channel. Why the sudden rush to automate voice?
Two major structural realities are forcing this change in the UK. First, contact centers are facing crippling labor challenges. Current data shows annual staff turnover in UK contact centers sits dangerously high, between 40 and 55%.
That is huge. The cost of constantly recruiting, training, and replacing human operators must be unsustainable.
It completely is. And second, despite all those slick web chat options we mentioned, consumer psychology hasn't changed. When something is broken, people strongly prefer immediate phone support over waiting for a chat reply.
Yeah, people want to talk to a person or at least a voice to get their problem resolved instantly. But I have to channel the listener's dread here, because we all have trauma from automated phone systems. Haven't we suffered enough with the old press 1 for sales, press 2 for support, robot menus?
Oh, those old IVR systems, interactive voice response, they were universally despised because they were just rigid audio menus.
Right. I didn't quite catch that.
Exactly. But what we're seeing deployed in 2026 is fundamentally different technology. Modern voice agents use real-time voice synthesis paired with lightning-fast natural language understanding.
Let's talk about the latency, because that used to be the dead giveaway. You would ask a question, and there would be this awful 3 or 4 second dead silence while the AI generated an answer. It felt incredibly unnatural.
That latency has been eradicated. The new models process speech and generate audio responses in sub-500 milliseconds.
Oh, less than half a second.
Yeah. And they operate over standard phone lines or VoIP, voice over internet protocol, which is just routing calls over the internet. The conversational flow is instantaneous.
So it actually feels like a normal chat.
Completely. You can interrupt the AI, you can change your mind mid-sentence, and the system adapts dynamically just like a human listener would. They don't just talk, they actually do things like look up CRM data or trigger open banking payment links.
Give us a concrete example of a UK business successfully trusting an AI with their phone lines today.
Sure. Look at a prominent UK fintech company that handles credit cards. They needed to make outbound payment arrears calls, meaning they had to call people who were behind on their monthly payments.
Oof, that is highly sensitive work.
Very sensitive. And they had a massive portfolio of 240,000 accounts. They deployed a voice AI platform that successfully automated 70% of those outbound calls.
Wait, really? The AI actually negotiates the payment.
It has a natural conversation, handles routine payment setups, and if a customer expresses deep financial distress or the situation requires complex empathy, the AI instantly routes the call to a specialized human queue.
Okay, the scale of that cost saving is obvious, but I'm looking at this from a risk perspective. Having an AI handle sensitive financial debt collection calls sounds like a massive regulatory nightmare.
It does sound like one, doesn't it?
Right. If the AI hallucinates or says the wrong thing, the fines could cripple a business.
It seems totally counterintuitive, but compliance is actually the primary driver of this trend for UK SMEs. Consider the Financial Conduct Authority's consumer duty rules.
Okay, what do those entail?
Well, under these regulations, a business must have audit-ready evidence that they are delivering consistently good outcomes for their customers on every single touch point.
And if you're relying on a floor of 200 human operators, how do you actually prove that to an auditor?
You can't, not comprehensively. You have to rely on operators to write good summary notes, which they often rush. Then a quality assurance team might listen to a random 2% sample of the call recordings.
Right. It's patchy, highly subjective, and leaves the business incredibly vulnerable during an audit.
Exactly. But the AI leaves a flawless paper trail. A voice AI platform produces a perfect, structured, searchable transcript of every single call the second it ends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it objectively categorizes the outcome of the conversation based on your predefined rules. It's a massive compliance tool, not just a cost-cutting play.
That is a fascinating pivot. It's actually safer from a regulatory standpoint to have the AI conduct the call because the oversight is 100% comprehensive.
Precisely.
But wait, this creates a major conceptual bridge we need to cross. If we have autonomous chefs cooking the meals agents, firing off emails, checking databases, and AI voices literally negotiating payments with customers on the phone, who is the health inspector here?
Ah, the regulation question.
Yeah. How is the UK government actually regulating all of this?
Let's clear up a major misconception straight away. There is no single sweeping UK AI Act in 2026.
So the UK did not follow the European Union's approach of creating one grand centralized AI law.
No, they didn't. The UK deliberately took a pro-innovation, principles-based approach. Instead of creating a brand new, slow-moving central AI authority, they empowered the existing sector regulators.
So for a business owner listening right now, it's not the Wild West, it's just that the local sheriffs are enforcing the laws instead of the federal government.
That is a very apt way to look at it. You don't need to learn a whole new regulatory framework. You just need to look to the regulators you already deal with.
Right, who?
Well, the FCA for finance, Ofcom for communications, and the ICO for data protection. If you deploy a voice agent, you must still strictly follow Ofcom's caller line identification rules.
Right. You can't have the AI spoof phone numbers to trick people into picking up.
Exactly. And you still have to follow the ICO's PCR guidance, the Privacy and Electronic Communications Regulations, those are the strict rules governing unsolicited marketing calls and spam.
So you can't unleash 1,000 AI voice agents to cold call consumers.
Definitely not. And you have to consider UK GDPR data retention rules for all those perfect call transcripts.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Are there any new laws specific to AI that we need to know about, though?
Yes. The most critical piece of legislation currently in force for 2026 is the Data Use and Access Act 2025.
The DUAA.
Right. As of February this year, it replaced parts of the old GDPR, specifically regarding automated decision making.
Okay, what changed mechanically for a business?
It actually made it lawful to make solely automated decisions about individuals in a wider range of circumstances. So it allows your agentic AI to approve or deny a refund, for example.
Oh.
However, you can only do this legally if you have defined, documented safeguards actively in place.
What do those safeguards actually look like in practice?
Well, transparency is paramount. You must explicitly tell the customer that an AI is making the decision.
Got it.
Furthermore, you must provide a seamless right for a human review. If the AI denies a customer's claim, the customer must have a frictionless way to challenge that and have a human employee review the AI's logic.
That sounds like a delicate balancing act for a business trying to innovate quickly. How do you test a complex autonomous agent to see if it works without immediately violating one of these strict compliance rules during the messy testing phase?
That was a major concern for the industry, which is why in May 2026, the government introduced the Regulating for Growth Bill.
What does that do?
The most powerful feature for SME tech adoption is the introduction of cross-sector regulatory sandboxing power.
Sandboxing?
Okay.
Like a controlled, safe playground to test new tools.
Exactly that. It allows a business to trial an advanced AI system in real-world conditions with actual data, but with certain regulatory penalties temporarily suspended or adjusted.
That's a huge relief.
It really is. It gives companies a way to prove a new use case works without the immediate threat of a crippling fine while they are still iterating.
That's a massive runway for innovation. Are there any other major legislative hurdles coming down the pipeline that directors need to prepare for?
Yes. Boards need to urgently prepare for the Cybersecurity and Resilience Bill. Following the high-profile cyber incidents last year, this bill is moving rapidly.
What's the focus there?
It forces tighter obligations around incident reporting and mandates rigorous risk management within your tech supply chain. Because while AI is an incredible tool for cybersecurity defense, we have to acknowledge that threat actors are aggressively using agentic AI to automate their attacks as well.
All right, so arms race. Well, we've covered a tremendous amount of ground today.
We certainly have.
I mean, we have accelerating technology with agents reasoning through tasks on their own. We have zero latency voice AI handling customer service and compliance. And we have a regulatory landscape that demands tight governance, but actively encourages testing.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. So with the technology accelerating and the regulations taking shape, it's time to translate all of this into a concrete game plan for the listener's business.
Absolutely. The transition from experimental hype to daily operational reality has fully occurred. The businesses that embrace this integration in 2026 are going to optimize their margins and dominate their respective markets.
And those who delay.
They will face inevitable obsolescence. You simply cannot compete on speed or cost against an agile, AI-driven organization.
So here is your immediate roadmap to avoid being left behind in 2026. Step one, conduct an AI readiness assessment to find high-impact use cases. Look closely at your daily operations and identify the actual bottlenecks.
Right. Don't try to overhaul the entire company on day one. Find the specific friction points.
Exactly. Step two, deploy generative AI tools in your top two or three workflows immediately. This is where you'll see the quickest ROI.
Yes, build the habit of using those smaller domain-tuned models for specific administrative tasks rather than relying on one massive platform.
And step three, establish a robust ethical governance framework to handle data safely.
This is critical. It is no longer just a nice-to-have slide in a pitch deck. If you are going to use autonomous agents to make decisions or talk directly to your customers, you must comply with the DUAA and your specific sector regulators.
When we started this deep dive, we looked at a $1.6 trillion ecosystem, a divided two-speed economy, and the frustration of the ROI paradox.
But as we've explored, that return on investment isn't a myth.
Not at all. It's found in the cumulative time saving of specialized multi-models. It's found in agentic systems that can autonomously reason their way through supply chain errors. And it's found in voice agents that secure your regulatory compliance while drastically cutting costs.
The foundational technology has matured. The only remaining variable is how rapidly leadership teams can integrate these systems into their organizational DNA.
Which leaves us with one final provocative thought for you to mull over. If you successfully execute this roadmap, if you deeply integrate agentic AI and instantaneous voice agents into the very fabric of your operations, you're essentially hiring a Silicon-based workforce.
A workforce that executes tasks in parallel with your human teams, completely transforming your output potential.
So as a leader, you have to ask yourself, how will your company culture, your management style, and your very definition of teamwork have to evolve when half of the entities executing your vision don't require a salary, don't need to sleep, and never take a tea break?
It really forces a profound reevaluation of what a company actually is at its core.
Something to ponder deeply as you look at your organizational chart this week. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the 2026 AI landscape. Keep exploring the technology, keep questioning your workflows, and most importantly, start building. We'll catch you next time.